Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to today's show here with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen.
Yes. Happy to be with everyone during the holidays. Man, it's always a pleasure to be here on the Refresh Your Wealth show. And sorry for the audio. We're trying to get this up for everyone on the tax bill. So you're going to hear the typical live recording audio today. So just giving apologies first here before we dive in.
Yep, we want to get right to the tax legislation, and we didn't want to schedule studio time for editing and making it sound all high-tech. We thought, let's just get out there, and hopefully for some of you that are used to these crisp and clear podcasts, at least you'll know you got Mark and Matt, the real deal here. We're recording this live, and it'll be on iTunes here today. We're not taking any calls today or email questions. We do our open forum show once a month. We hope that many of you that become listeners, regular listeners, will take advantage of the live call-in show. But today we're just breaking down the GOP bill. Big news.
Yeah, just. So now we've got an hour to do this and still try and keep you entertained at the same time. So this will be quite the challenge. But I think there is good news in the tax bill. So as I'm, you know, with family over the holidays, everyone's asking me what I think because, you know, they know I'm in the tax arena quite a bit. And it's like, for most people, it's good. So, you know, whether you're a fan of Trump or not, he probably did give you a tax break for Christmas. I mean, like it or not, you know, you can receive that gift or you can reject it.
That's right. We won't be political here and comment on all the trickle-down economics of this. Is it going to really stimulate the economy? Is it going to help or hurt? Who knows? We all have hopeful dreams for our tax code. But anyway, we want to welcome all of you that might be new listeners. We're here every week talking about tax and legal strategies to help you, the average American, and better live the American dream. We hope that we can add some value to your wealth building and cash flow and income. Keep it real. Keep it fun. If you want more information about us, you can get over to refreshyourwealth.com, refreshyourwealth.com. We've got a weekly newsletter. You can sign up for free. Both Matt and I are attorneys. I'm also a CPA. Matt is an incredible tax attorney. We're both authors and have written books to help you, again, tackle these difficult topics. So you can get more information about our law firm and accounting firm and our services. We help clients every day. We're out there in the real trenches, not just talking heads. So, Matt, any new 5-star reviews? Anyone that said this was worth their time?
Yes, and thank you so much for all those who have gone to iTunes to give us 5-star reviews. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and you send us an email letting you know that you've done such. Mark and I will ship you a free copy of one of our books, Mark's latest book, The Business Owner's Guide to Financial Freedom, or my book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. Both of them, excellent books. And, you know, we don't charge for shipping or anything. This is a real just, you know, thank you from us for giving us a review. So I got a couple here. This was the most recent one. It says, you've got to listen. They're the real deal. 5 stars. I love listening to Mark and Matt talk about taxes, asset protection, and really how to keep more of what you make. They are so knowledgeable, open, and actually have personalities. And there's so many on here. Frankly, I could just, you know, read these for hours. And when I'm a little slowing down, I just come to the reviews here and read them to make me feel a little bit better. So, but we got a 1,000-page tax bill to try and distill to you in an hour. So So, but
we better
but
get
really,
to it.
Thanks for those that have given it. Yeah, and we're on Stitcher now too. So feel free to, if you're using Stitcher or listening to us on it right now, give us a 5-star review there. We got to start building up reviews on Stitcher as well.
All right. Well, okay. So, folks, we don't want to waste time. Sometimes I'm accused of too much prologue. So let's get into it. Matt, maybe I'll kind of lay the general framework, and then we'll just kind of talk back and forth here and share the greatest hits.
Mm-hmm.
Is it already? Are we already ready for the greatest hits? It's only a week old, and we're going to do greatest hits. So,
yeah.
So here's the thing.
Well, how about
yeah.
how about more like how yeah. about more like this is like Sports Center, okay? You know. So, you know, like you're a big sports fan, you watch all the games and you catch the little highlight of what, you know, you really wanted to see. We kind of, you know, go through all the tax bill and all this nonsense, and then we're giving you all the highlights of it. So it's kind of like Sports Center. I like that better. What do you think?
Well, and I love it. I love it, Matt. Okay. So the first thing that I want to do is just kind of, just break out what the basic bill is about, and then we're going to zoom in on topics that will actually help you. Folks, we're not going to talk about things that don't matter. We want to talk about things that really make sense on your tax return. So the bill is broken into three main pieces, a corporate, big company provision section. This is for the Apples and Walmarts and Targets and AT&Ts of the world. And, of course, the theory is that giving them a tax break from 35 to 21% is going to help them with their growth, economic growth in the country and hire more people and all that good stuff, that it's going to trickle down to us. The second piece is the individual section, which all of us are going to be impacted by. And there's little things, including reductions in tax rates. And we're going to talk about that, maybe, again, the highlights, the top 10, if you will, of those pieces that might affect you. And then we're going to get to third, the small business. What is it that many of our listeners are small business owners, and what can you plan on there? And there's also some really golden nuggets, so some cool stuff there. So we're going to hit small business. Now, Matt, back on the corporate. Now, we've generally planned on just kind of telling you it's there, don't stress about it. It's probably a third to a half of the tax bill is based on corporate changes that are arguably good or, you know, supposed to be good for our country. But you, Matt, had a couple insights that you thought might affect the small business owner.
Yeah, for those that self-direct their retirement account, and if you're getting involved in ordinary income, real estate development activities, you can run into a tax called UBIT or UBTI. And sometimes we use something called a corporate blocker to do this, where you pay corporate tax to avoid UBIT tax. And now that the corporate rate has gone from 35 to 21%, it's actually a little bit more valuable of a strategy, the corporate blocker. So for those of you who know what it is, or self-direct your account where you're running into UBIT or UBTI, then this is a more viable option to basically get this 21% tax rate. Then the gains go down to your retirement account as a dividend income, tax-free. And this is only retirement account-based structures for those who self-direct their account. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't stress. There's no way I can get into that discussion to do any justice on this. But I just wanted to note that's a big move, you know, 14% difference in the rate for those that do the corporate blocker structure. So I just wanted to put a little thumbnail on that. And I think that's all we wanted to say on the corporate rate, besides, you know, the trickle-down economics of it. So.
Yeah, and for those that are self-directed – oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, keep, go ahead. I was going to change subjects, so – finish yourself.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, for those that listen, for those that are self-directed IRA and 401k gurus and love Matt's message and everything his book is about and the ability to self-direct your retirement accounts, I just wanted to add that that's what that blocker corporate is all about. And that's for some of you that thought that was way over your heads. I know there's a lot of our listeners that was extremely good news. So as you get more into the topic, folks, on that, you're going to find it very helpful. So now, Matt, you said you want to change topics.
Yeah, well, I think before we get into this, the individual and small business rates, how it's, you know, impacting people practically, let's maybe hit some of the things that were proposed, some of the losers, you know, that didn't make it in the final bill that kind of freaked people out. Because there was some that we saw in particular that we were really worried about, and luckily didn't make it through in the final bill.
Yeah, that sounds great. And why don't you mention a couple? I've got a little list here, too. They're probably very much the same. But and I think this is helpful for everybody out there, because there's a lot of, you know, urban legends already and wives' tales coming out of what this bill is doing, because there were so many reiterations of it, and the House bill really sucked. I was out there complaining about it, but the Senate really did come to our rescue, in my opinion. So, Matt, what didn't change from your perspective?
All right, so the first one that I was tracking, most importantly, was Coverdell's. Okay, Coverdell Education Savings Accounts, a lot of people, clients that we know, use them just as a way to save for college for their kids or grandkids. You can self-direct a Coverdell, you know, invest in real estate, cryptocurrency, private equity, small business, whatever. You know, you can actually self-direct it and pick the investments in a Coverdell. So those were, there was a proposal to axe Coverdells, and that luckily got dropped from the final bill in the conference committee. So Coverdells are alive and well. If you're saving with a Coverdell Education Savings Account, you're still going to be able to do it as you have in the past. So that was a major plus, that one got nixed.
I like it. And I will just say this, supplies bought by teachers are still deductible. Student interest on loans, grad student exemptions for grants is still non-taxable. The sale of home exemption, still alive and well.
And that didn't get changed.
Keep going,
that was, there was proposal to change. Yeah, sale of home exemption proposal to extend the time frame. That didn't change. It's still a 2-year hold period. To get the sale of home exemption. Depreciation on rentals, there's a proposal to change depreciation schedule on rental real estate down to 25 years. That did not go through in the final committee, so depreciation of rentals stays the same. I mean, there's a lot of junk that didn't make it out, luckily, but I think those are the main things that we saw impacting individuals, business owners, real estate investors, you know, the typical people who are listening to this show that we love.
Yep, I love it. Okay, so on the individuals, let's hit the highlights, because all of you, whether a small business owner or not, you first are an individual in an American tax code. So I think the big question people are asking, so let's get down to it, and I've been on a couple of radio and TV shows in the last few weeks of getting phone calls to comment on this. People have said, am I going to save taxes? Now, here's the gist of it, just right off the top. For individuals, whether you own a small business or not, I feel I can say this arguably that 80% of Americans are going to see tax savings, tax reduction. You are going to pay less taxes. Now, that's going to range based on what state you're in. Are you single or married? Do you have kids? Do you itemize or not? But the range of savings is going to be anywhere from maybe $1,000 a year to $7,000 or $8,000 a year. It could be as high as that. Now, I would suggest that any of you that are trying to get a feel for what your tax savings might be, get over to the New York Times calculator. I think it's one of the best out there. Just type New York Times tax bill calculator, and you can get to this calculator and kind of hover around this cool scatter plot of where you might be with your family situation and your income, and it'll tell you what your estimated savings might be. Now, in totality, with all these doubling of this and tax rates down, and Matt and I will go through this detailed list of what creates that savings, to just dumb it down to a calculator can kind of be nice. So I would suggest that right off the bat, because not everybody, but I'd say 80% or more of Americans will see savings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was, you know, that was the thrust of the tax bill, is to give savings, not just, you know, cutting the corporate rate nearly in half, but to give individuals rate reduction. And if you look at the, and that's one part of this on the individual side, is first is just rate reduction. So the tax rates actually went down about 2 to 3%, depending on where you are in the bracket. Sometimes they stayed the same up in the higher income areas, but For most people, they're going to see the 2-3% tax rate bracket just on, you know, their tax bracket they're in last year versus, or say, let's say 2017 versus what they'll be in 2018. In addition to some of these, the doubling of the standard deduction and things we're going to talk about. So it's a lot of little things that come together that are going to bring you tax savings. And I think as I talk to most people, and it's funny, just a lot of family members over the holidays asking me every time I go through someone's situation, it's like, all right, your standard deduction's getting doubled. You got kids, the child tax credit's benefiting you. You're getting a lower rate. It's like, everybody's like, man, I'm going to be saving taxes for sure after passing this bill. So most people will, but let's get into the detail on that, Mark, on the standard deduction. And I don't, do we need to preface that, the standard deduction, what that is? And I mean, I think most people kind of have a general idea of that, but I think a lot of people may have been itemizing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I can – let me take a stab at it. Let me just say this simply, because, again, we want to stay a little high level here today so that many of you find this helpful and interesting, but also get into the minutia as needed. Here's the point. When you file your tax return, you have a standard deduction or you can itemize. Itemizing means you get your maybe mortgage interest, charitable, your state tax deduction, unreimbursed employee expenses, medical. You combine all that, and it can reduce your taxable income. That's what itemizing is. And people that have a lot of stuff going on would normally itemize. And generally, the more wealthy, people making at least $100,000 or more might itemize. But for the in this tax bill, to make it have a larger swath of benefit for more people, the government said, we want to try and simplify things, so we're going to increase the standard deduction so less people have to go do all this itemizing garbage. They can quickly just take this double standard deduction, which is now $24,000 for married, $12,000 for single, and that's cool. And but the itemized deductions kind of got cannibalized in this process. The state and local income tax deduction got limited to $10,000. You cannot write off unreimbursed employee expenses anymore. The medical expense limit went to 7.5, back down from 10%. But most people still don't even itemize medical expenses. It's a joke. That's why we like health reimbursement arrangements and health savings accounts. But that's probably, Matt, I think that might do it. I'm just trying to make the point that standard deductions are up. Personal, you know, now we'll give you some year-end tips here in a minute, but itemizing is, they estimate 30 million Americans will now not itemize. That's how many people this simplification will affect.
Yeah, and that was the Paul Ryan, now people can do their tax return on a postcard because you don't need to get to Schedule A on your tax return and track your all these things that Mark was rattling off there that you itemize. Everybody just gets the 12,000 single, 24,000 married. They also got rid of the exemptions, you know, and just built that into the equation there. And that was one thing where we saw some give and take, I think, on that was a lot of people that had kids are like, well, crap, I want all these exemptions for my kids that I have. And, you know, I'm going to lose out on that when they change this and double the standard deduction. So if I had a lot of itemized deductions, mortgage interest, charitable deductions, a lot of kids, I had a lot of those exemptions and deductions building back up. But, and so you lost that, but tax credit is now $2,000 per child, I think 17 or younger. And that's a doubling of the child tax credit, which is huge. And one thing they also did is they raised the phase out on the child tax credit so that it's, you know, a lot more higher income people are going to get the benefit now of the child tax credit. That's $2,000 per kid.
Yeah. And, you know, when we get to year-end planning strategies and things you can do now, I've told most people, I mean, you're one bad snowstorm and 9 months away from a tax write-off. I mean, this is a big deal. You can be planning your fall tax strategies right now. Apparently, if you get busy and have children, the government's going to reward you. Now, once they become teenagers, you want to give them back, but at least while they're, you know, warm and cuddly and cute little kids and sit on your knee, you can score a tax write-off. There you go.
And why not?
We'll
and,
see.
And why not? And I'm sure that's I'm sure that's what they had in mind when they came up with this. But that that is a big benefit because it is a tax credit. Remember, not a deduction. That's a credit against the tax you end up owing. So it's a very very valuable benefit.
Yep. Yep. Now, okay. Now, a couple other highlights. May I, Matt? A couple other. Estate tax exemption is essentially repealed. The estate tax limit is so high now, it's only going to affect the 1%ers of America, if that. So depending on where you draw the line with that level of income. So estate tax is generally repealed. And the health insurance.
And what like you mean by that, that went up to an 11 million exemption individual, which would basically get up to 22 million married, right?
Yeah.
So
and
married couple have
you
got to
have
$11 million estate.
Yeah. So if you're worth more than $22 million and listening to this show, thank you for listening. You might still pay estate tax, but there's not many of them.
Yeah.
Now, a couple other things is this affects a lot of people. The Obamacare, Affordable Health Care Act penalty, so if you don't buy insurance, there's a penalty. It's been repealed. Now, when I say that, everybody thinks, oh, I don't have to get insurance for next year. Yoo-hoo! Well, it's repealed in 2019. So you still need to have insurance for 2018, or you're going to pay the penalty when you file your tax returns at the end of next year. So just keep in mind the Obamacare penalty, for lack of a better word, not trying to insult President Obama and the whole health care plan. It's just easier to call it that. But that health care penalty is repealed in 2019. Still effective in 2018. Matt, what are some other personal items you wanted to mention before we get to small business? I got a few here, but what's on your mind?
Yeah, so we had the mortgage interest deduction was changed. So that was reduced down to $750,000. Now, the way they wrote this was it's acquisition indebtedness. So if you were doing HELOCs on your house before and writing that off, you need to take a HELOC and go to, you know, on vacation or something with that debt, you know, you might have been writing that. Now any HELOC or any additional debt incurred on your home is only deductible if it's used to substantially improve the home. So you could still be using a HELOC to strip money out of your house and improve it, you know, whatever that may be. And that's still deductible. Otherwise, if you're using it for personal purposes, not improving the home, those types of HELOCs or other debt you're taking out against the home is not going to be deductible anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's it's a good one to mention. I want to just say hit some of these little smaller ones. The moving expense is gone unless you're in the military, which is kind of a frustrating one. These are little favorites of a lot of people. The moving expense and job hunting expense, both of those are gone. Unreimbursed employee expenses. So if you pay for things but use them at your job and you get unreimbursed, that's not a write-off anymore. So quit giving your employer a freebie. Plug-in electric vehicles, that's gone. So the deduction for a fully electric car is gone. I think it's also important to point out that most of these expire in 2025. I mean, we're 5-6 years away from having to do this all over again. And
we'll see what happens here.
Yeah,
the corporate tax rate change is permanent, but the individual and small business is – yeah, it's not so much. It's or at least the individual. We have a, you know, and I think that's all politics. That's the Republicans wanting to make sure you vote them back in 2025, so that they'll keep the rates down. But another one that I thought was good is the 529 plans got made a little more valuable. So a 529 college savings plan, where you can put money in, you don't get a tax deduction, but it essentially grows tax free and comes out tax free. When paying for education expenses or, again, kids or grandkids. But the 529 can now be used for K-12 expenses. It used to only be available for higher education, but now you can use it for K-12 up to an amount of $10,000 a year can come out for K-12 expenses. So that was kind of nice to see 529s get expanded. Let's see, what else on the individual side, Mark?
Well,
I'm trying to think.
Well, probably my final comments here is let me say this, that from a strategy standpoint, okay, here's strategy, folks, is that if you want to save some taxes now, because think about this, your rates are going to be lower in 2018, you're going to have a larger standard deduction, and in concept and in reality for 80% of Americans, you're going to pay less taxes in 2018. So by definition, that means if there's any deduction that you were going to take and pay for in the next couple months, you might as well try and write it off and take advantage of it in 2017, right now. So in the next 3 or 4 days, something you might want to prepay for is these itemized deductions. Pay for your state taxes and get the write-off in 2017 because you're not going to get it next year. You also may want to prepay your tax and legal prep. We have clients calling us up right now prepaying us for their tax returns for next year because they'll get the write-off this year and not next year because it's an itemized deduction. So anyway, for those of you that have generally higher itemized deductions, you want to take advantage of that. Now, the last thing I'd say, too, is that for the rank and file of you out there that have a day job, you or your spouse, W-2, you will see an increase in your paycheck in the next 2 to 4 weeks. The IRS is getting out new payroll tables. You'll see a little increase in your paycheck as well. So you're going to feel it a little sooner than having to wait to the end of next year, too. So that's probably all I got on individuals, Matt, if you want to throw in any final notes.
Yeah, I think just on the strategy, you know, there's a lot of year-end things that we've talked about to do. We had a prior show on that. The state and local tax is the one that's kind of gotten a little more traction, is more important now because of the change on limiting that deduction in 2018 moving forward. So for the prepay, though, and the final bill, one thing they did do is say, obviously you can be paying your 2017 taxes now. So, you know, don't wait till January to pay your estimated 2017 state income taxes, you know, pay those now, get all your, what you think you're going to owe for 2017 paid in 2017. So you can take the income tax deduction as an itemized deduction right now without the 10,000 limitation, but the paying for 2018 in 2017, is not going to be allowed under the final bill under the state and local, income tax, changes that we have going. So, but check out the prior show. There's so much to be doing year end, from retirement plan contributions, looking at HSA accounts, putting your kids on payroll, all those just bread and butter year end tax planning strategies. A lot of things I'm frankly working through last week and this week to make sure I have done on my own end are really important. And those little things will save you a lot come tax time.
Yep. There we go. Love it. Okay, now let's jump over to small business. Now, some of you, this is the part you've been waiting for today. It's exciting. Okay, and I'll say this in general. I think it's good. I think small business owners are going to see so the tax savings we were just talking about in individuals, if you're a small business owner, you're even going to get more. And the theory is, by the government, that if you save money as a small business owner, you're going to buy more equipment, you're going to expand, you're going to hire more employees, you're going to help the economy. That's the theory. Same theory for Walmart and AT&T is for the mom and pop restaurant business owner, architect, engineer, accounting firm, software development company, whatever. Any small business, less than 500 employees or 500 million is what Small Business Association, SBA of America, defies as a small business owner. But this is very common for many, many of our listeners. You're going to see a benefit. So there's some bad. We'll come to the bad in a moment. But, Matt, why don't you explain this 20% deduction for the average small business? Then we'll get to personal service. But for an average small business owner that has in employees, what does this look like?
So now when we're talking about small business, this is any of you who are what they call pass-through. So this is if you're an S-Corp, an LLC, a sole prop, a general partnership, this is all applying to you. And remember, this is for your business income that's coming through. So you get a 20% deduction on this pass-through business income. Now, that's a very significant – so let's say you have $100,000, again, of pass-through income coming through. You get a 20% – just in the basic terms here, I'm going to let Mark flesh out the detail. But you're going to get a 20% deduction, reducing that $100,000 down to $80,000 that would then be taxable to you. So this is kind of the – you know, because the rates for individual business owners go down to their individual – sorry, for small business goes at the individual owner's regular tax rate. They tried to just do a deduction strategy in the small business to just reduce the taxable income, which is a little cleaner. It was easier in the corporate rate to just go from just change the corporate rate. But for small business, because it gets taxed at individual level and different owners in the business maybe at different individual rates, they have other income, it's a little more tricky. So they just made this deduction, which ended out in the final bill to be 20% deduction on your pass-through business income. Now, keep in mind, you're going to have some wage income in addition to that, like for those S-Corp owners, and many clients of ours are using that strategy. So there's a couple components to this of your pass-through income and your wage income.
Yeah, and this is this equation we're still trying to figure out and understand, people. It is a very, very unique equation because there's a balancing act as a small business owner between what you take as wages and what your net income is. And we've been teaching the payroll matrix for years, which I love, and S corporations even got more powerful with this strategy and this deduction because I want people to double down. I want you to save on FICA and get the 20% deduction. And this is where finding an art between these amounts is really going to be special. Now, there's two types of businesses that the IRS, is going to be regulating, and this is what the bill says. If you are a regular standard business, think of a restaurant or a software company or a construction company or a hotel or a little bed and breakfast, whatever, but you're not personal service. You're just a standard kind of employee or product-driven business. That is going to be this 20% deduction off your bottom line, limited by 50% of your overall payroll. And the theory is the more people you hire, the less your limit's going to be. It's going to go up. So this is where the stimulate economy piece comes into play. But the other type of business is this personal service business. And when you're a personal service business, again, this is like an accountant, an engineer, a realtor, a broker, a finance, someone in the financial services, an actor, an actress, an athlete, anybody that makes money off their personal services, then the 20% deduction phases out once you make more than $315,000 married, filing, joint, or $137,000 single. So you make too much money, the deduction goes away. So that's frustrating for those that are making more income because you're not going to see this small business benefit. It's really in this personal service arena. But that's how this 20% deduction works. Again, I would say 90% of small business owners are going to see a benefit here and are going to love it.
Yeah, and you can already see a lot of the planning, and this is some of the planning we'll start doing in 2018 with clients. A lot of people are trying to structure their business around, am I personal service or not? Can I create some type of income to make that not personal service if I am a personal service business? And that's going to be tested, and the IRS knows that. That was much of the discussion in structuring this was how do we keep a fair and balanced approach, but also one that people don't have to engineer some crazy structure to get the benefit of. So, but we'll try to find the legitimate ways you can work this. And there's a lot of people are waiting for guidance from the IRS. You know, the IRS is basically not been consulted in this bill, frankly. This just came through Congress, and they're getting it, and they're going to have to be giving out guidance, and obviously they'll be policing this. And so, but we'll be definitely staying up to speed on the strategies on this and what's going to be viable and what's not in terms of how to categorize your income. If you are personal services, are there strategies that are going to be viable?
Yeah. I think it's really powerful, and it's a lot of small business owners are going to have to and take some advantage of this. Now, let me give a couple cautionary points. I know there's clients of ours out there listening right now that say, oh, I'm not going to take the payroll in my S-Corp. It's a pain. It's expensive. I'm going to take a cheap little payroll and just push it through. And we've got some, mm-hmm. not to be offensive, but some lazy or aggressive clients. And we do not stand behind that payroll allocation. If they get audited, they get audited. Well, folks, the IRS is going to be more aggressive on payroll allocations. It's just the nature of the beast here because of this 20% deduction on everything else, meaning your payroll and pass-through.
Yeah.
So we're going to be pounding this drum. We're going to make sure people are not sole proprietors. You're not an LLC, but you're taxed as an S-Corp. You're taking your payroll, and we're going to keep you out of harm's way with the IRS. So step up, people. This is your chance to save taxes, but you gotta do it right, you know?
Yeah, there's give and take to that. And the good news is for the small business owner on the pass-through, you're going to see tax savings. Even if you phase out, let's say, your personal service here and you totally phase out on the income where you're not getting any deduction at all, you're still an individual. That income is now going down to your individual return. The individual rates were still lowered. And if you're that high income, you know, over this 400,000 threshold here on the married pass-through, you know, a few point difference on your taxable income is, you know, that's a couple $1,000s for every 100,000 coming through. So you're going to see tax savings nonetheless. So there's still something to be excited about, even if you do phase out on this. But I, like you said, Mark, I think most people, most small business owners, most of our clients are going to get savings out of this. And some of them are going to get huge, huge savings. Those businesses that have, you know, $1 million plus business income coming through that are not personal services, and you got a good payroll going for your business, you're going to see significant rate reductions, significant tax savings over what you've been paying in prior years. But frankly, I think those are some of the biggest winners in the tax bill overall.
Yeah, yeah. It's great comments, Matt. Now, let me tell everybody a little bit of bad here. And these are the big ones that I think people need to be aware of. First of all, entertainment expense, gone. Now, we've been using this and teaching it for years, and we love it. I don't know why the Congress is picking on golf courses and spas. This is really sad. You cannot take a write-off to go out and talk business on a golf course, go to the spa and talk business, go to a show, go to the theater, go to a skybox, go to a play, go to a baseball game. That's no longer a tax write-off. What happened to the corporate perks of doing a business transaction while entertaining? Now, the IRS has felt this has been abused, but this is terrible. This is really, really bad. And for those people that are in the personal service arena that make more than $300,000 a year and aren't getting the 20% deduction, this is another slap in the face, and it's sad. So I love the entertainment deduction, and it's gone. Matt, I know you share this same frustration.
Yeah, yeah. God, I felt like you were like on the Senate floor there, you know, for a second, just, you know, speaking of the president of the Senate, you know, just giving that little speech there. That was very, very, very moving. I would just join in the gentleman from Idaho's comments there, and I'll yield back the balance of my time. You carry on, my friend. No, but I have to say, for some of those expenses that are gone, I think there's other ones that we pick up too, right? There's more valuable depreciation schedules now coming out. There's some give and take on that. So where you, a lot of these business owners may lose out on that entertainment expense, you may be making it back up and even more on depreciation expense ability, having a faster depreciation schedule on equipment or things you're buying in the business.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good thing. Yes, absolutely. And there's these little nuances that if you want to buy something, it's a good write-off. And so now the other thing that's just bad is the food in the office. It's usually been 100% deduction if you provide food at the workplace, donuts in the fridge or the water cooler, drinks in the bagels and donuts and all that. And then some employers even have cafeteria services at their employment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was 100% write-off. It's now 50%. So no more 100% write-off for food for your employees when you're having a staff meeting or trying to make your employees more efficient.
Yeah, so stock up the fridges right now, guys. Stock up the fridges and the cabinets now before year end. Might as well get the 100% deduction in 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. Take advantage of it now.
Well,
Matt, I think to summarize, anything else on small business? Yeah.
I just want to hit a couple things and questions that we've got on people when they've kind of heard this summary of this, and I kind of want to just refocus people on what matters and what doesn't. One question we got a lot, actually, Mark and I both, when tax reform passed, and even on the open forum show, was a lot of business owners hearing the corporate rate's down to 21%. Should I move to a C corporation? And the answer to that is no. Okay, a C corporation, a lot of our pass-through clients just have never known this. They were put into an S corp or an LLC, and they're just used to that. But a C corporation is, the corporation is going to pay 21% maximum right now, but it still distributes its profits down to the owner of the business, who pays at their personal income tax levels. Okay, so you're paying tax twice in a C corporation. So the 21% rate may sound better than your personal rate, but you're not paying it instead of your personal rate in a C corp. You're paying it in addition to your personal rate in a C corporation. So there's still double taxation. Don't go rush into setting up a C corp or anything like that. We're still not recommending it for small business clients, except in very, very limited situations.
Yeah, very much so. Well, guys, I mean, literally, and I can't believe it, in just under 40 minutes here, we've summarized what I think are the key points. This document really is 517 pages bare minimum. It is longer, and like Matt said, 1,000 words when you get all the legalese into it. But so many of these little provisions don't affect 98% of the small business owners we serve. And so We don't want you to feel like this is the end of the story. There's going to be little things that we're going to be writing articles on and let you know. I mean, just a couple nuances. Like-kind exchanges are for real property now. Only. You can't exchange equipment. And then there's a bunch of business credits that are gone. The employer provided child care credit is gone. The rehabilitation credit, the work of opportunity tax credit. And these are unique credits that some businesses would look at and rely on, but it's 1 in 100 for us. And we really are kind of the average small business. So I just don't think you should be stressing about those.
Yeah. And what I'll say too is make sure you're following the newsletter. We're going to have some articles coming out in the newsletter. If you don't catch our newsletters, you can sign up for it at the podcast site at refreshyourwealth.com. We'll be sending out articles just on the small business rate, on retirement accounts, on real estate. We're trying to focus the comments so you know what's applicable in those specific areas to you and your financial future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks everybody for listening. I just love small business, and I think being a small business owner is still one of the blessings that many of us need to take advantage of in this country to be happier and to enjoy life, but also to make extra income. We're not telling everybody to have to quit their day job, but you can start creating more wealth and more income. So we'll be here every week trying to break it down. It's exciting. Matt, thanks for being here by my side. You're an honor to be on a show with.
Yeah. Oh, it's an honor and privilege, and you're a great American, my friend. And we will see you guys all next year on the Refresh Your Wealth show. Stay tuned. Again, sign up at refreshyourwealth.com. We'll see you next year.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.